But John chapter 3 and verse 1 this morning, the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Praise God to help me. I'm going to try to preach out this portion of Scripture with the Lord's help. And so you praise God to give me direction in the message. Amen. Father, we do love you and thank you again for the good day that you've given us. And Lord, thank you again for the health and strength that I have to be here and to stand behind the sacred desk again and try to preach thy word. Lord, I realize in myself that I can't say or do anything that's going to be a help to nobody without you, Lord, speaking through me and using me in some way. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you cleanse me of all sin, that you fill me with the Holy Spirit. Father, help me. Lord, I pray to preach exactly what you would have to say today. Father, set a guard at my mouth and let me not say anything that I shouldn't. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would touch every heart in the service in some way and draw us closer to you. Father, save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, stir and revive us again. And we'll praise you and thank you now for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Very simple message this morning, because I'm a simple preacher, amen, I guess you could say. And I hope I'm not simple-minded, but I do want to preach with simplicity and make it where people can understand it, amen. Many years ago, the Lord gave me a little outline on this portion of Scripture. And I want to bring the outline this morning. The outline is just a vehicle to bring a message from God, amen. And I want God to use the outline for that purpose this morning, that the Holy Spirit may speak to your heart in this message. And of course, most of us in this building, some of us in the building maybe, have read this portion of Scripture many times. And you've thought about these things and meditated on these things. But I want to preach tonight on the subject of a late night discussion. Amen. There was a man that came to Jesus one night, the Bible says, late at night. And his name was Nicodemus. And of course, he's a Pharisee, the Bible says here in verse 1. And of course, Pharisees were religious people. And they knew the Old Testament scriptures. That's all that they had at this particular time. There wasn't no New Testament written at this time. But Nicodemus was a student of the Word of God. And not only that, but he was a ruler of the Jews, the Bible says. He had he was one of the elders of the town there or wherever he lived. And he had some influence and maybe even sat on the Sanhedrin Council. But he's probably a wealthy man. He's probably a very educated man and a very religious man. And he's probably a good moral man. I'm talking about he's probably better than most folks were in town. Amen. He was probably a very good man. But the Bible says here that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I want you to notice here in verse 2 that the Bible says that he came to Jesus by night and called him Rabbi, which means a teacher. He viewed Jesus Christ as a great teacher, a good teacher. But I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is more than just a great teacher. Amen. He was the Savior that had come into the world to set men free from their sins. And of course, Nicodemus did not know him yet in the free pardon of sin. He didn't know that Jesus Christ was God incarnate. He didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world at this particular time. But he knew that he was a great man. He knew that that he had to come from God, for nobody could do the type of miracles that he was doing except God be with him. He had never seen anybody open the eyes of one that was born blind. He had never seen anybody raise people from the dead. Amen. He had never seen anybody do the type of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had done in the midst of the people here. And so he came to him and said, Rabbi, we know. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know. Amen. And which that includes other people. Maybe his family, maybe other Pharisees. Maybe there was Joseph of Arimathea and different ones that he was including in that reference. But he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I want to preach just for a little while on this late night discussion. And first of all, the Lord began to explain to Nicodemus, and he probably startled him when he made this statement. But in verse 3, the Lord didn't say, yes, I am a good rabbi, I am a good teacher, and I am come from God, and I do great miracles. The Lord didn't say none of that. But what did the Lord say? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the Lord made the statement to Nicodemus, this religious man, that there must be a new birth take place. A man must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom or see the kingdom of God. And of course, Nicodemus didn't understand that. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is thinking in the natural terms. He's thinking as any lost person would about a second birth. You know, he don't understand spiritual things. He don't understand the words that Jesus is speaking. They are spirit and they are truth. Amen. But he don't understand the spiritual aspect of that statement at this time. But the Lord says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus asked that question, how can a man be born again? And then in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And of course, you've got to be born naturally to start with, amen, to be born again, but you've got to be born of the Spirit. He talks about a spiritual birth taking place. Now, I want you to notice here the figure of the cross. The Lord begins to explain to Nicodemus what the spiritual birth is. Amen. And he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't have time to teach this verse debate this verse this morning, but the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. A person must hear the word of God preached, and the Spirit of God must make it plain unto them so that they can understand it in order for them to be saved. And so a man must be born of water and of the Spirit. He's not talking about water baptism here. It is debatable whether he's talking about the natural birth and the spiritual birth, and that may be a fact. Amen. But I know that a person must be born of the water of the Word in order to be saved. Amen. You've got to believe the Scripture. You've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to believe the Gospel of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit that brings forth that salvation. Amen. And of course, that's talking about the new birth. Amen. It takes a man and a woman to have a child. Amen. To have the natural birth. But any person that's born naturally must be born spiritually if they expect to go to heaven when they die. And so the Lord says, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. And the Lord makes this definite statement to Nicodemus, a very moral man, a very good man, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, a religious man. He said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. In order to go to heaven, he must be born again. That's talking about the spiritual birth. And so the Lord begins to explain this to him. He said, now, marvel not that I said that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves like a wind. Amen. When the Spirit of God begins to move, you see the effects of His moving, but you cannot see Him. Amen. Just like we were talking about in Sunday school lesson this morning, when the Lord came down and shone that great light of His glory around Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road, and he heard the Lord speaking to him in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul didn't have no problem knowing what the Lord was saying and who was talking to him, amen. When he asked that question, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the brick. I'm telling you that God made it plain to Saul of Tarsus who was speaking to him, who was convicting him, who was dealing with him. And I tell you what, the Spirit of God will make it plain to you when He begins to work in your heart what you need. Amen. There's a lot of people try to work things up, and I mean we try to work services up, and we try to work people up, and we try to be the Holy Spirit and make people get saved. Amen. You can't make nobody get saved.
Amen.
You can't save nobody.
Amen.
Amen. It takes, we've got to sow the good seed of the Word of God and pray for those people, but it's going to take the work of the Spirit of God to do that work in their heart.
Amen.
And so he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound of, canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth, so is everyone that's born of spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel, knowest not these things? You're supposed to be a master of Israel. You're supposed to be a teacher of the law. You're supposed to be a student of the Word of God. Don't you know nothing about this? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. Testify that we have seen, you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There's a great verse there in verse 13. The Lord Jesus is telling Nicodemus that nobody's went to heaven yet, Nicodemus.
Right.
there's not one person went to heaven yet. Now, you got to realize the time frame that this was spoken in. The Lord Jesus had not went to the cross of Calvary yet. He had not resurrected from the dead. He had not ascended in the lower parts of the earth, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, and then ascended back into heaven. Amen. Seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. He said, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. In verse 13, you see the Lord Jesus said, no man's went to heaven yet. I've come down from heaven, and I'm still in heaven. That's a great statement, amen. When Jesus Christ became man, he didn't cease to be God. When he became the God-man, he was just that. He was 100% God and 100% man. Amen. His God incarnate walking in a body of flesh, but he didn't cease to be God.
Amen.
Amen. He still had power. He still had authority. He still had the authority to command devils, didn't he? He still had authority to command Satan. He still had authority to command the angels.
That's right.
He said, can I not presently call 12 legions of angels? They'll come deliver me. I mean, all he had to do is call. They'd have been there. I'm just saying, the Lord's just telling Nicodemus here that nobody's went to heaven yet, Nicodemus. Only he that come down from heaven, he that's still in heaven. He said, and as Moses, and we won't see the figure of the cross here. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want you to see the picture that the Lord painted Nicodemus here in this portion of Scripture. Nicodemus is a natural-minded man. He's not been born again. Even though he's religious, even though he's moral, even though he's a good man, he's unsaved. He has not been born again. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. He cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned, Paul said. And so Nicodemus is a natural man. He's not understanding spiritual things. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit to be able to open his eyes, amen. The Spirit of Christ must open his eyes to the truth of the Word. Now, in order for anybody to be saved, the gospel, the plain gospel, the clear gospel, must be preached to that person. That person, if you witness somebody, you need to give a clear presentation of the gospel, if you can, to that person, amen, and let them know what salvation's all about. Now, the Lord gives Nicodemus a figure of the cross here. He uses the serpent in the wilderness. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21 this morning, and we'll begin reading in verse 4, the children of Israel's out in the wilderness in their wilderness journey. And the Bible says in verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Hobah. I want you to notice here the story in Numbers chapter 21 of how the children of Israel murmured and complained about God. They didn't like what God was doing for them. They didn't trust God and rely upon the Lord like they should. They began to murmur and complain against the Lord and against Moses, the man of God. And so God's anger was kindled against them. He sent fiery serpents among them, poisonous snakes. Those snakes began to bite the people and people started dying. They started getting sick and dying. They realized that God was bringing judgment down on them. to their sins, and they cried to Moses, and he prayed to the Lord for them that the Lord would have mercy upon them. And Moses did pray, and God said, "Now you make a serpent of brass. You make an image like that which has bitten the children of Israel, and put it on a pole, and everybody, every man, woman, boy, and girl that looks at that serpent of brass is going to live." Now, I'll tell you, it took faith for them to do that.
Amen.
Amen. What are you talking about? There had to be a serpent of brass made. Moses had to believe God. Moses had to form that serpent of brass, and he had to put it on a pole, and he had to put it on a hill where everybody could see it. He had to do that by faith, believing what God said. And everybody that was in their tents and had poisonous snake venom in their veins fixing to kill them had to come out of their tents and look at that serpent of brass if they wanted to live. And so they had to do something, didn't they? They had to crawl out of that tent. They had to walk out of that tent. They had to gaze upon that serpent of brass believing what God had said.
Amen.
Amen. And when they believed what God had said, God healed them and they did not die. Now, in my way of thinking, amen, I'm knowing human nature, amen, there's probably some of them old sinners said, "Well, I don't believe that junk, I don't believe that man, I don't believe Moses, amen, he's just trying to deceive us again and kill us out here in the wilderness, and we're not going to look at some old brass snake like unto that which has bitten us and killing our children. You can forget about it, Moses. We're not going to come out of the pen and waste our energy that we got left to look at some old brass snake." And I guarantee you, if they said that in their heart, they died in their tent.
Right.
Amen. And they buried them. And they left them when they journeyed on. They went to the grave. But every man, woman, boy, and girl that looked that serpent of brass lived, just like God said that they would. And so the Lord Jesus uses this emblem here to relate to Moses what must take place in order for a person to be saved. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Who was the Son of Man he's speaking of? He's speaking about himself. He's talking about his crucifixion on the cross, lifted up between heaven and earth on an old rugged cross, and his life's blood running out his veins, amen. And he says, "As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, Moses, Nicodemus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
Right.
Said Nicodemus, "You got to believe in the Son of Man. You got to believe in this one that's going to be lifted up on the old rugged cross." Amen. And he said, "For God so loved..." We see the figure of the cross here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We was bitten by the old serpent back in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Our race was. When Adam and Eve transgressed in the Garden of Eden, they committed the original sin, and you became a sinner through birth.
Right.
Amen. You didn't become a sinner when you committed your first sin. You was born a sinner.
Right. Amen.
You was born separated from God. You was born dead in trespasses and in sins. You was born dead spiritually. Amen. Separated from God. And you need to be born again. Everybody needs to be born again if they expect to go to heaven. Now, what I'm trying to say is that our body has sin in it. We was born with original sin. We commit sin because we're sinners. That's why them little babies sin is because they're sinners. They was born sinners. You say, "Well, my little baby's just a damsel. My little baby's the sweetest thing in the world." Amen. They are sweet and they are innocent in some things. Amen. But they're a bunch of sinners. And I know they're under God's protection until they reach age accountability. I believe that. Amen. I believe a little baby dies, they'll go to heaven. You say, "Well, where you get that from?" I believe, of course, David said, "I can't go to him, but I mean, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him," talking about the little baby that he had with Bathsheba, God took out of the world. He prayed for that little baby that God would heal it, and God didn't heal it, it died. David quit, he washed his face and he eat, and all his servants said, "What's wrong with David? He's been weeping and crying, and and poured his heart out to God. Now he's cleaned up and he's eating his supper now. And what's going on? David said, made that statement, said he's not coming back to me, but I can go to him. And David knew where he was going. And I believe that God protects little babies when they die. I mean, they haven't got to that place of deciding what's right and wrong. They don't know what's right and wrong. But they are sinners. They are born with original sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to take that sin away. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can take that sin away. And that's why God gives us a new nature. We still got the old nature until we get out of this body and get a new glorified body. And I tell you what, you have a sin nature. And that's why the Bible says that little children come forth from the womb speaking lies. Amen. They're little liars just as soon as they're born. They'll cry and tell you a lie. I'm dying, Mama, I'm dying. Amen. Something bad wrong with me. And pins sticking in me. And boy, you pick them up and pat them on the back and they just pat this Lord. Nothing wrong with them. They just want some attention. Not a thing wrong. What do? They told a little lie. They know that gets Mom or Daddy to pick them up. You don't have to teach a young'un how to be mean. Amen? They just naturally are mean.
They are. They're naturally mean.
I mean, one of them takes a toy away from the other slaps the other upside of the head with something, you know, and kick one another and bite one another. And I mean, they're just mean. Where'd they get that from? That original sin nature that they inherited from Adam and Eve. They was born with it. And the Lord Jesus came to die on the old rugged cross to deliver us from that. The Bible says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Amen. He became a curse. We was under the curse of God. We was under the judgment of God. We were condemned already. We was on our way to hell. But Christ loved us and gave himself for it. He's telling Nicodemus, I'm going to be hung on the cross. You're going to have to believe in me if you want to be born again.
Amen.
The figure of the cross. Faith in Christ. Got to do it by faith. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In order for any person to get saved, they got to believe the record that God has given of his Son. They got to believe in his Son. They got to trust in his Son. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You got to believe that. I believe that, and I got saved. So whosoever believeth, he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then, that they should not perish. The Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does perishing mean? That means dying your sins, die lost and undone, die under the judgment of God, and go to the lake of fire. That's what perishing means. It don't mean to be annihilated. It means to die lost without the Lord. So, we see the figure of the cross and faith in Christ. He promised eternal life to those that believe in him. In John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm a Father of one. And the Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. That's the promise of God. When you believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart and he saves your soul, you have presently eternal life. You're not hoping to have eternal life. You have eternal life. Right now. I got it right now.
Amen.
I've got him in my heart. And Christ in me is the hope of glory. Amen. And Paul said, nevertheless I live, Christ lived in me. I can't remember the word. And if somebody help me.
Love to give himself more.
Amen. Amen, brother Sean. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you remembered. I can't remember. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying that he has given us eternal life, and we have Jesus, I have Jesus Christ in my heart, and because He lives in my heart, I have eternal life because He's eternal. Amen. He gave me everlasting life. It's a life that will never end. If my life began December the 7th, 1975, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in South Carolina, when I fell on my knees in my bedroom and asked Jesus Christ come in my heart and say amen. He changed my life that moment and put His Holy Spirit within me. And from that moment forward, for now on, amen, for everlasting, I have life, spiritual life. I'll never die. You say, you are going to die. Well, I'm going to die physically. The body's going to die, but I'm not going to die. Be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Amen. And just as soon as I leave this body, a physical death is a spirit leaving the body. That's all it is. Amen. And once this old flesh that I tabernacle in goes back to the dust, my spirit's going back to God. My soul that He saved going back to the Lord, and when the Lord comes back, I'm coming back with Him and get a new glorified body, fashioned like His glorious body. But the Lord told Nicodemus, said, Nicodemus, I'm going to be lifted up. Men must believe in me if they want to be born again. And I give you this promise that whosoever believes in me will never perish, but have everlasting life. And then I want you to notice what also He said here, the Father's compassion, verse 16, 17. He said, for God so loved the world. Don't believe that one moment that God does not love this world. God loves it. I'm not talking about the sin world. I'm not talking about the demonic things that goes on in the world and all the filthy things that goes on. I'm talking about the people of the world.
Amen.
I'm talking about God does care. God does love. And God sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, notice the term, might be saved. Now, He died for the sins of the world, but it don't mean that everybody in the world is saved. Amen? They only get saved when they trust in Him, when they believe in Him. You only get born again when you put your confidence in Him, in His promises, and ask His forgiveness, repenting of sin, ask His forgiveness, and ask Him to save you. And so, He so loved the world. Okay, and then the Bible says He sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world. He don't want to condemn the world to hell. He don't want to send men, women, boys and girls to the lake of fire. He don't want to see nobody burning forever and ever. I'm talking about God. God is not a God like that. He is a God of justice. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. Amen. And He's a righteous judge. And He will judge righteously. When you see Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, John was describing Him. His head and His hair were white like wool. He was girt about the paps with a golden girdle, which represents the binding of emotions. When He sets as judge, His emotions are bound, and He's going by the Word of God.
Amen.
And He's judging righteously. Amen. But He is a God of love, too. And He loves this old sinful humanity. He loves Adam's race. And He wants Adam's race to be redeemed.
Amen.
He don't want one of Adam's race to die in their sins and go to hell. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. The one that caused Adam and Eve to fall. He prepared a hell for them. Amen. He wants them to go there, and they will go there. But He don't want Adam's race that was tempted and fell into sin by that temptation of Satan to go there. And so He sent His only begotten Son to the world, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But He said that the world through Him might be saved. If possible, for the people of the world to be saved. It don't matter whether red, white, black, yellow, whatever color they are, amen. Don't matter where they're from, or where all descendants were. God made them all nations one blood, of one blood, amen. We got the same blood.
Amen.
You know that? We got the same blood. What blood? Adam's blood. So we see the Father's compassion. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God loved you and Christ died for you. God gave his only begotten Son for you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to come to repentance. He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. He wants everybody to repent. He wants everybody to get saved. Don't want nobody to go to hell. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who's lost? Everybody's lost until they get saved. Everybody's lost until they get found. Amen. Everybody's lost until they're born again.
Amen.
Luke 9:56 says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The reason Jesus Christ come into this world is to save people. Amen. So we see the Father's compassion. The facts of condemnation. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've trusted him and you've been born again of the Spirit of God. You've had a spiritual birth. You're not under condemnation. In other words, there's nothing on your record for God to condemn you of.
Amen.
There's not one thing on your record this morning that God's going to condemn you of. You say, well, I've done so many things wrong, preacher, as a Christian. I have too. But on my record, there's no record.
Amen.
There's no record. Brother Jones, there's not one blot on the record.
Amen.
Not one sin laid to my account. Not one thing that God's going to charge me with. Why? Because God laid my sins on His Son. And His Son bore my sins away on the cross of Calvary. My sins is gone. What sins? My past sins, my present sins, my future sins. It's all gone.
Amen.
See, God saw my record, my whole record, when Jesus died on the cross. I wasn't even born yet, was I? You wasn't born yet. That's 2,000 years ago. But when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died for my sin debt. And in the foreknowledge of God, He could see every sin that I'd ever commit from the time I was born to the time I died. Not one sin did He not atone for. Not one of my sins did He not pay for with His precious blood. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven because He has placed my sins on His Son, took the righteousness of His Son, and imputed it to me.
Amen.
And when God sees me, He sees me with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous law might be fulfilled in us. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about. Nicodemus, the facts of condemnation is, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world. But men love darkness rather than light. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We see that the believer is not condemned. Luke 18:13, the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The old publican smote on his breast, wouldn't even lift his head to heaven, wouldn't lift his hand to heaven, but smote upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. With all of his heart, he is asking God to forgive him. The old Pharisee standing over in the corner in the front of the building, praying with himself, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men are. Extortioners, unjust, and he listed a bunch of things. I'm glad I'm not like this old publican back there in the back of the building, that old tax collector, that old sorry sinner. I'm glad I'm not like him, Lord. That old publican wouldn't presume he is anything. He just knew he was a sinner. He knew he'd done something wrong. Amen. He had been wrong in his heart, his life. He asked God to forgive him. And Lord Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than an old Pharisee.
Amen.
Why? Because he asked for mercy, knowing that he was a sinner. The believer is not condemned. The Bible said in Acts 13:39, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. You can't keep the law of Moses. Nobody ever has, and nobody ever will, except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord Jesus kept it for us. He kept the law for us. He fulfilled the law, and he took our place. He became a curse for us when he died on the cross. We are cursed under the law, and Christ became a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. Amen. Why? Because law can't justify sin. Law can't tell you you're all right if you're not all right. Law says you're guilty.
Amen.
Amen. You've told a liar, or you've stole something, or you had a bad attitude, or whatever. Amen. The law says you're condemned. But Christ delivered us from that condemnation. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When God justified us, that means just as though we had never sinned, when he cleared our record through the blood of Jesus Christ, it was by his grace, his unmerited favor. He did something you didn't deserve him to do for you. And it was through the redemption of Jesus Christ, the redemptive price that was paid was his life's blood that ran out on the cross of Calvary. So God freely justified you. But the unbeliever is condemned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. If a person don't get their sins forgiven, get born again, they still bear their sins. They still carry those sins. They're still guilty of those sins. And they have a record that's full of sin. On God's record book, there is a record of every sin that every sinner has ever committed who's unsaved. God knows all their sins. And when they stand at the white throne judgment, they'll be condemned. They're already condemned. Presently condemned. They're already dead in trespasses and sin, and they're already consigned to the lake of fire unless they repent and get forgiveness of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Unbelievers are condemned there in verse 19 because they love darkness rather than light. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world, he said. And the Bible says that that he is light. And men love darkness rather than light. They don't love Jesus Christ. They love the darkness of sin. The reason most people won't repent and get saved is because they love their sin. They're unwilling to give up their sin. They're unwilling to turn from their sin in their heart and ask God to forgive them. They want to keep on drinking and cussing and lying and stealing and committing all kinds of ungodly acts, amen. They love that sin. The Bible says, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So those that are unsaved love the world and the things of the world. The love of the Father is not in them, and they're going to pass away just like the world's going to pass away one day. They're under the condemnation of God. Unbelievers hate the light there in verse 20. The Bible says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This Bible is light. Jesus Christ is light. Christians should be light. Amen. And those that are ungodly and those that do not want to repent, that love their sin, they hate Christians, they hate the Bible, and they hate Jesus Christ. They won't get saved until they get to that place where that they repent of that sin and turn from that sin in their heart and believe with all their heart in Him. So we see the facts of condemnation. Then we see the faithful's consecration, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Those that want to know the truth, those that want to receive the truth, those that want to be saved, those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that want to live forever, amen, they're going to come to the light. John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You take somebody that's unsaved, they don't want to fellowship with Christians. They don't want to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. They don't want to be in church. They won't turn on no gospel radio station. They don't want to read no gospel tract. Why? Because they love the world and things of the world. You take somebody that wants to be saved or somebody that is saved, they'll come to the light. You take a Christian that loves the light, they'll come to the light. They'll come to church, they'll read that Bible, they'll talk with the Lord. Why? Because they've been born again. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When a person gets saved, they walk in the light as he is in the light, so that they might have fellowship. A person gets saved, they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't walk in darkness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Amen. And so, that late night discussion, the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to get saved. You must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can this happen? Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you've got to believe in me. I'm going to be lifted up on the cross. And if you believe in me, you believe that God loved you and sent me into the world to die for you on that cross. If you'll look at me and believe, you'll live. You can have eternal life. And that's what he told him. And I believe that old Nicodemus probably got saved.
Amen.
Later on, we see him and Joseph of Arimathea getting the body of the Lord Jesus and taking him to bury. The Bible says Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, but secretly for fear of the Jews. I don't believe the Lord needs secret disciples, amen, but Joseph of Arimathea was one. But after the Lord was crucified on the cross, he got some boldness and begged the body of Jesus, and he put the Lord Jesus' body in his own new tomb that he had hewn out in a rock, identifying himself with Christ. And so did Nicodemus. I like to think that both those fellows will be in heaven when I get there. Amen. I believe they probably will be. but you must be born again. I hope that everybody in the building is saved. I hope that you acknowledge to God that you're a sinner, that you need salvation, and the only salvation that you can have is through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way to be delivered, the only way to be saved. Let's stand this morning and ask musicians to come. We'll have an invitation song this morning. If anybody needs to come and pray about anything, and if you haven't been walking with the Lord as you should, these altars are always open. If you need to come and talk to Him, if you need to get saved, you can come and get saved. Amen. Just ask the Lord to come to your heart, save your soul, and then repent of your sin. Page 81 in the church hymn book this morning. We're going to sing the old hymn, Just As I Am. Page 81.